We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
He began to lead us to open up a church out of our home, which is kind of ironic because for 7 years before that, we had been trying to keep everybody out of our home. It sounds funny, but petty thievery is the biggest crime in Togo. And so you have your house, a cement block home, and then you have a wall all the way around the property, 8 foot high, metal spikes, bougainvillea plant with big old thorns on it. We have a German shepherd. We have a guard that we pay. We have everything except the military with a machine gun turret on the house. And that's what they tell you you're supposed to have. That's not what the missionaries tell you. That's what everybody tells you. You need to have your house protected. There was one missionary that had two people jump his fence in the middle of the night and push a motorcycle over the fence, and they ran off with the motorcycle. So if you don't protect your house, you might as well just, I mean, they're just going to steal everything. It's because people are so poor and because they're hurting so much. It's not just because they're devious and they want to steal. It's they're starving, they're hurting, they have needs. And so for 7 years we had been, you know, keeping our door locked and trying to prevent thieves from coming in, and all of a sudden God's like, I want you to open up your door and invite everybody and anybody into your yard. And so we did. For the first time ever, we opened up our door, and instead of chasing away little kids who were trying to creep into our yard, all of a sudden we're like, come on in. Come on in. Now, we were evangelizing, and we were telling people about Jesus. Don't get me wrong. It's just we didn't always allow them to come into our house or into our yard. And so just 2 years ago in February, we started a church, and it's still going today. And the man who owns our house had a piece of property next door, and so we were able to get some teak limbs and put those into the ground and put bamboo thatch on the walls and a tin roof and imported some sand and threw it down on the clay so it doesn't stick to your flip-flops during the rainy season. And there's no air condition. You just sit out there in the afternoon, 90-something degrees. It's pouring down you. People come filing in, old people, young people. It's been such a blessing to see people come to the Lord. There's two people that I wanted to share with you, two individuals. One's Alphonse and one's Samson. And so what happened is we're, AD and I are taking our vehicle to church, and you know, more and more people start riding with us. And one day this man named Alphonse comes to my door and he knocks on the door and bring him into the yard. And I said, can I help you? He said, I want to know more about Jesus. And so for about 45 minutes, I took my Bible and I opened it up and I told him how he could know for sure that if he died, he was going to heaven. And for 45 minutes, he just sat there and listened. And at the end of it, I asked him if he'd like to be saved, and he looked at me and said, no, I don't think so. Now, after 45 minutes, he knew that he was a sinner. He knew that if he died, he was going to hell to pay for his own sins, but he also knew that Jesus died on the cross to forgive him of his sins, and that if he would just ask Jesus to save his soul, that Jesus would. And he thought about it and decided, you know, I'm not interested. And he went home. And where we live is very much National Geographic. Not my personal house, but the area around us. Very, very, very poor. People are still living in mud huts, thatch roofs, tin roofs, no electricity, no running water, no mattresses. One night he was sitting in his room, and it's just a mud block house with a tin roof, laying on the ground, no mattress, no pillow. And he started thinking about the verses and what we had talked about. And right there in his room, all by himself, sitting in the dark, he asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. And so he got so excited. What did he do? He went to his best friend the next day, and he said, you need to go talk to the missionary. So he ends up coming, knocking on my door. I said, yes, can I help you? And he said, my friend told me to come talk to you. I said, come on in. So we sat down, did the same thing, started walking him through John chapter 3, started walking him through the Romans road, how he could know for sure that he could be saved. At the end of it, he rejected it. You know, it's surprising to me the big difference between America and Togo that I've noticed as far as witnessing is in Togo, people will listen. A lot of times here in America, they don't want to hear it. But this part is true no matter where you go, that once you give the gospel, a lot of people reject it. And that's okay. You know why? Because Paul said, I planted, Apollos is watered, but God has given the increase. I don't save anybody. I didn't die on the cross. I didn't shed my blood for anybody. That's what Jesus does. My part is to share the gospel. It's to go back and water that seed. The Bible says the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. I'm just supposed to be that laborer that goes out into the field looking for that harvest. And it's Jesus who saves. It's Jesus that ripens the fruit. It's not me. And so we've had the opportunity to be able to share the gospel. Samson, a couple days later, he ended up accepting Christ as his Savior. So Alphonse comes to me, and you need to understand the context. Both of these boys are probably 10th grade in high school, and they get saved. And Alphonse's parents, they make beer at the house. That's how they make money. They're not saved. Voodoo originated in Togo, right on the border of Togo and Benin, and they worship in it. They worship ancestors and spirits, and they're doing sacrifices. In fact, one time Alphonse came to my house, and he knocked on my door, and he said, "Would you pray for me?" I said, yeah, let's pray right now. So we prayed a little bit, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "My dad found out that I don't want to eat anything that's been sacrificed to idols, to false gods, because he knows that I worship the one and only true God." And so he said, "My dad has started sacrificing everything and anything he can to the spirits and to the other gods so that I won't eat it." And he says, "It's getting really tough because I don't have anything to eat." So he said to me, bless his heart, he's like, Can you give me a job to earn a dollar so that I can get some cooking oil so that I can cook the little bit of food I have?" I mean, that's real persecution. That's persecution that we don't see. And so he's standing up against his own parents in a respectful way, trying to show them that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants them to know that he loves them and that he has rejected all of the ancient traditional beliefs of his family to follow the one and true God. And so he's coming to my house, and he said, "Can we start praying together every week?" And I said, "Sure, let's start praying." So we start praying every Monday night. He comes back like on Wednesdays, like, "Once a week's not going to be enough. Can we do it again?" I was like, "Sure, you know, I get the off out, spray it on, walk out." They're going, you know, like beating them down. So I was like, "Just huddle closer to me. Maybe my off will kind of permeate the area." So year round, it gets dark around 6 o'clock at night. That's about the time we're doing prayer. Can't do it at 4:30 when the mosquitoes aren't out. Got to do it around 6. So we start praying every Monday and Thursday. And Samson starts praying. He says, "Can we pray for my family? They live about 3.5 hours north from a completely different tribe than the one in our area." And he said, "My family's not saved, and I'm really burdened for them." And so we started praying for them every time we got together. And in September, about a year ago September, AD and I had the privilege of sending him north to meet with another national pastor. And how that came about is one day we were out visiting. And when I say visiting, you can't think like here. What you have to think is that you leave your compound or your house and you just start walking down dirt walking paths. And during the rainy season, you're literally pushing corn stalks out of the way and tall 7-foot grass, and you're looking at these little trails going off, and you're like, "I've never been down this one before." So you keep your eyes open, make sure you don't step on any snakes or anything, and you're just looking for people that you've never talked to. And you go into these compounds, and for their compounds, it'll be several mud huts with all their openings or doors facing into a courtyard. And so we'll meet them, and they'll bring out a bench, and they're always respectful. And a lot of times they're surprised to see a white person. They've never seen a white person in person before. Kids are super scared, start crying, think you're some kind of a ghost. I promise you. Brother Todd, when you come over, you'll see it. So they come and they sit down and they bring you some kind of strange water. It's the best they have. It looks more like lemonade. You kind of hold it, you be polite, and then you pass it on. Don't drink it. You'll be sick for years. Their stomach is used to it, yours isn't. They kind of semi-understand that. And so, awesome opportunities to just sit down and tell them about Jesus and how he died for them. And they just sit there and listen, and listen, and listen, and listen. I don't know how many times I've ended up starting to share the gospel with somebody, and before I know it, there's about 15, 20 people standing around listening at the end. And so Samson is asking prayer for his family, and one day we're out on visitation. He says to me, he said, "Pastor, how do you know when you're supposed to be a preacher?" And he's been saved about 2 years at this time. I never talked to him about being a preacher before. I said, "Well, if you're starting to think thoughts like this, it's probably God putting it there, because I highly doubt the devil's planting that thought into your mind." And so I said, "You know what, I want you to go up north and I want you to meet a pastor who is from your tribe, who knows what it's like, who has been up there for years and years and years. I want you to see the good and I want you to see the hardships of ministry. Because surely when the hardships come, you need to understand that this is something that God wants you to do and not something that somebody else has pushed you into." And so he went up there this past September or a year ago September, and I called the pastor and I said, "He's going to come up. Would you just kind of talk to him and mentor him a little bit? And then would you have time to be able to go out to his village? You speak his language, you speak their language. And he said, yeah, we've got to do that. So they got on a motorcycle and for 45 minutes drove out into the middle of nowhere Africa. No running water, no electricity, no toilets. People shower, and I mean, it's so funny. They set up blocks and then they take sponge baths. And so you'll walk down this little trail and you'll see somebody standing behind, you know, like mud blocks that are about this high. And you're like, hey, and they're like, hey, how's it going? Just keep on walking. Those are not the people you hand tracts to. You get them on the way back. So, hey, this is just true real life Africa. These are things you learn. So he goes out, and they for 3 days, they just walked around the village, and they shared Christ with anybody and everybody that would listen. And after 3 days, he sends me a text message, and it says, my whole family got saved.
Amen.
And so he comes back down, and wait a minute, let me pause. You said cell phone? Yep, I said cell phone. You know, they don't have running water, they don't have electricity, they don't have any of those things, but they have cell phones. $8 cell phones out of China, somebody will strap a car battery to the back of a bicycle, ride it into town, charge it, bring it back out, and then make people pay to charge their cell phones. I mean, they don't have TVs, they don't have radios, but everybody seems to have a cell phone. So anyways, he texts me and lets me know that his whole family gets saved. Comes back down, and I sit there and I start talking to him. He said, for 3 days we pounded the pavement and just shared with anybody and everyone. He said, my mom and dad got saved, many of my aunts and uncles got saved. I said, how many would you guess? He said, I didn't count, but I'd say around 30. 38 people got saved. So I said to him, I was super excited about that. I was like, so is there a church up there? Thinking, man, they got to get plugged in, right? Nope, no church. So I looked at him, and I know that he was talking about wanting to be a preacher. So I just like threw it out there. I was like, well, we need to start praying that God will start a church up there, that God will send somebody up there, right? And he's like, yep. And so this year he finished high school, and I sent him down south to spend a couple weeks with a friend of mine, J.J. Alderman. I don't know if you know who he is or not, but your pastor might. And so he went down there and he spent some time with another national pastor. And he just got back home and he said, I want to go to the Bible Institute. I want to start studying to be a preacher. You know, this is what missions is all about. It's about us sharing our faith with somebody, them getting saved. And then we pour our lives into them and disciple them, and they grow and they get excited and they share it with somebody else, and those people get saved and they start sharing it. And before you know it, it's an entire movement of God. People are getting saved. Villages are being changed. 38 people get saved in a heartbeat because some kid got saved in Togo, West Africa, and wanted to go share it with his family and prayed for over a year that God would save his family. God answers prayers. Keep on praying. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the part that you've played in Togo, West Africa, for caring for us, for praying for us, for supporting us for the last 4 years. Paul said in the Word of God that he didn't desire a gift, but that he desired that fruit may abound to your account. And I personally believe that every person who accepts Jesus Christ under the ministry that we have a part in is added to your spiritual account. Because of what you guys are doing. You guys are making a difference, and I want to thank you for that. We couldn't do it without you. We have some prayer cards in the back. I can't find the one I've got. Here it is. We've got some prayer cards in the back. If you're interested, feel free to go in the back and pick up one. We are your missionaries. Avail yourself to them. There's a website on the back, more information about what we're doing, about the ministries. There's an email address. If you're interested, feel free to drop us a line. As I said, we are your missionaries, and we want you to know more about Togo, West Africa. I'm hoping to get your pastor sometime in the next year or two over there. We've got a spear already for him. We are going to charge elephants. We're not. Well, I might send him out, but I'm not going. So we've got 4 minutes. 4 minutes, Genesis chapter 4. Actually, go over to Genesis chapter 5. Just look real quick with me. There was a thought that I wanted to share with you tonight, and I intended to give you... Oh, wait. I've got more time than I thought. Your low battery light came on, I hit it, and it lied to me, and then it reset. So, we got about 38 more minutes. Just kidding. It is about 18 till, right? Okay, good. All right. So, Genesis chapter 5, look at verse 22. The Bible says this, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. Enoch was probably one of the godliest men who ever lived. Now, I don't know what happened in his life, but sometime around the age of 65, he met God. And God radically changed his life. And that's how it should be for every one of us. And the Bible says for the next 300 years he walked with God. Now this is a different dispensation, different time. This is before the flood. So God literally would speak sometimes to people, verbal voice. I believe that God did speak to him verbally. He didn't see God, but God spoke to him. Now in this time frame as well, because it's before the flood, people lived enormous lives, super long. I don't know why, I don't know how, but they did, and so he lived 365 years. And so for 300 years, the Bible says, every day he walked with God. Can you imagine how well he knew God? Can you imagine how wise he was to just spend all of that time with God? You know, if you want to know how to manage your finances better, who do you go to? A guy that knows a lot about finances. If you want to work on your family's relationship, what do? You tend to pick up books by people who are very knowledgeable about how to raise a godly home. When you're seeking out wisdom, you go to people who are wise. Can you imagine how wise he was when he went to the creator of the entire universe and he just walked with God every single day? You know, today I just want to challenge you about something that happens to a lot of us. We become apathetic. We just kind of like lean back, kind of put it in cruise control and just come to church. And we shouldn't be that way. What we need to do is we need to walk with God. Now, Enoch, what he did was he sought God every single day and it changed his life. Now, I've been married for 3 years this past summer and I love my wife and I can tell just after 3 years, when I walk into a room and I ask her how she's doing, by the tone of her voice, I know if she's doing good or not. She looks at me and I can tell if she's really mad at me or if she's really happy with me. I know sometimes just by how she's talking that I just need to keep my mouth shut. I know my wife and my wife knows me, but can you imagine how well you would know somebody if you spent 300 years with them? Some of you don't want to spend 300 years with your spouse. I'm guessing that was the little trickle of laughs throughout the room. But he wanted to spend 300 years with God. I can't even imagine how excited he was, and every day he got up and walked with God until one day he got up and he went out to do what he had done for 300 previous years. And one day he's just out walking maybe in some pasture and then boom, the next thing he knows, he's in heaven. It was a reward. God took him to heaven and he never died. It only happened one other time in all of Scripture. Do you remember? Big cherry, fiery cherry. The thing came down from heaven. It was on fire. Yes. Fiery chariot came down and picked up who? Elijah. It was only the second. Man, get more text than a drug dealer up here. Things just ringing off the hook. If you have your Bibles, please switch over. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, three times in all of Scripture, Enoch is spoken about. He's spoken about in Genesis, and it's talking about how he walked with God. He walked with God. And now when we get to Hebrews chapter 11, we see that he pleased God. It's very interesting to me that Enoch had this testimony that he walked with God and that he pleased God. And David had this testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. So my question is, what kind of testimony do you have? Are you walking with God? Are you pleasing God? Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? What kind of testimony do you have? How are you living your life? His life was different because he sought God every day. And because he sought with God, he ended up walking with God. And because he walked with God, he ended up pleasing God. Go ahead and look at chapter 11, the great faith chapter. So he's mentioned here as well. This is the third time in Jude he's also mentioned. Look at verse 5, chapter 11. The Bible says, "And by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? He pleased God. So he walked with God, and he pleased God. So how do you please God? Well, look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's God. So if you're to please God, you need what? Faith. And how do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Enoch walked with God. He communed with God. He heard God's voice. Because he knew God's Word, his faith increased. And because his faith increased, he pleased God. Now, God's not going to verbally talk to us today. Why? Because we've got his completed Word. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This is an eternal book. When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall pass away. That's talking about gifts. When God came and he gave us his completed Word of God, everything else is done. This is how he communicates to us. What you need to know is found in this book. So if you want to please God, what do you need to do? Spend time with God. Get into his book. Read his book. So he sought God, he walked with God, and he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, that's us, must believe that he is, that's that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. What does diligently mean? Every now and then? From time to time? No. If you're diligently taking a shower, what does that mean? You're going to be clean. If you're diligently eating, what does that mean? You're going to be full. If you're diligently overeating, what does that mean? You're going to be pleasantly plump, right? Diligently. It has this idea of continually and constantly and perpetually. We need to seek God on that kind of a level. The Bible says nothing about Enoch getting up and going out every couple days and taking a few days off. It says for 300 years he sought God. If we want our church to change, if we want our lives to change, then we've got to seek God. There's a lot of weak churches in America, and do you know why? Because there's a lot of weak Christians. We don't know God like we should. In Togo, a lot of times I'll take my cell phone out of my pocket when I'm witnessing and I'll ask them, I say, do you know who the president of Togo is? And they're like, yeah, it's Mr. Four. I was like, do you know him? They're like, oh yeah, I know him. I hand them the phone. I said, can you call him for me? And they all laugh. Like, oh, we don't know him like that. And I said, that's the problem. You know who he is, but you don't know him personally. You know, many of us, we know God personally, but we don't spend enough time with God to know his heart and his mind. We don't seek him with all of our heart. We don't seek him diligently. That is what can change our lives. It's what can change our perspective. It's what can change our witness. I just want to encourage you with these three words. He sought God. He walked with God. And because of that, he pleased God. Do you want to please God? My dad retired out of Jacksonville, Florida, out of the Navy. And I was about 12 years old, and we moved up to Buffalo, New York. Hot Jacksonville, Florida, to 200 inches of snow every winter in Buffalo, New York. My dad hands me a shovel, said, go dig us out. I don't know why we didn't get a blower thing, but he just handed me a shovel. So he ends up buying a small farm, 68 acres, 100-year-old barn. And I remember one day he shows up and he's got a cow in the back of his truck. And he's like, we're going to start farming. Great. Who are the hired hands? He looks at me. He's like, you are. And so I remember he went out and we had to get the barn ready. And it had been open to a different farmer before we had bought it. And he let the cows come in and go out and come in and go out. And they had, lack of a better word, pooed everywhere. It was really thick and it was old. So what ended up happening is you had like this really crusty layer on top and a fudgy layer underneath. Great for a chocolate pie, terrible for a farm. And it had straw mixed in it too. So I told my dad, this is pertinent details, okay? So I told my dad I needed a pitchfork. So I'm thinking he's going to go out and get a 2 or 3 or 4 prong. He goes out and gets a 10-prong pitchfork, you know, the kind for like cleaning behind horses. And so literally there's a foot of manure sitting in the barn. And every day during the summer I'd go up there and I just spent hours and hours and hours shoveling that into a wheelbarrow and wheelbarrowing it outside and dumping it. And my dad would come home every evening and I knew it was around 5:30 or 6 and I'd work as hard as I could. And I knew that if I left the barn door open a little bit that he would pass by that barn and he'd see the door was open, knew I was there, and he'd stop and come on in and he would check out the progress. Now, my dad's not the type of guy who comes up and gives you a big hug, you know, man hug, cracks your back or anything. He doesn't do that. He doesn't pat you on the back, and he doesn't, you know, just like, I don't know. He just doesn't puff you up. But he would walk in, and he would look, and if I had done a good job and if I had worked really hard, he'd just kind of smile. He'd acknowledge a little bit of work I had done, and then he'd talk about other various improvements he wanted to do. I worked as hard as I did because I wanted my dad to walk in the barn, and I want him to be happy with me because of what I did. You know, that's the same attitude we need to have with God. We need to work as hard as we can because one day we are going to stand face to face with God. And don't we really just want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That's what should drive us. We need to seek him. We need to walk with him because ultimately if we do those things, we're going to please him. I just want to share that with you. Let's pray.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.